Bienvenidos and welcome to the Familia FFP podcast. I'm your host, Jorge Martin, and today we've got a very special guest coming at us from the Midwest in our beat writer series, Zach Kiefer. He covers the Indianapolis Colts for The Athletic, and he's joining us as our special invitado de lujo. He's been an insider with the Colts for many years, previously writing for the Indianapolis Star, and somehow he finds time to be an analyst on WISH-TV and to be an adjunct professor at Indiana University. Above all else, he's a girl dad times two. So it's great joy club to be part of, Zach. And again, welcome to and bienvenido to the Familia FFP podcast. Thanks again for doing this.
Thanks for having me. Let's do it.
Oh, awesome. Awesome. Well, first off, I wanted to ask about the story that you did on Jim Irsay. Because that getting that kind of insider access, that comes with time. I mean, that, you know, can you give a quick summary on how that story just kind of unfolded? Because it was really well done.
Thank you. Yeah, you're right about that. This was not weeks or months. This was years in the making, this story. I've been wanting to do it for several years. And, you know, I always knew about Bob Irsay, but I knew that I needed to get Jim Irsay to really open up about it. And that's what took so long. And you know, one conversation led to two, and that led to three, and that led to four over the last several months. I mean, I think I started with our first conversation with him back in December. Long conversations. I really wanted to peel back the curtain. No one's had an NFL experience quite like Jim Irsay. So that's what I wanted to present, you know, to the readers. And he's as unique as they come. So that was my goal, to really capture that.
And I really think you did. I mean, it was a very special story. And, I grew up, I remember when the Colts moved from Baltimore to Indy, and it was quite the incredible thing. And obviously there's been a lot of success, and Jim's been a big part of it. I wanted to ask about, I wanted to kind of start off, you know, one of the big changes of the offseason has been the Carson Wentz trade. And obviously, you know, it's been a change from Andrew Luck a few years ago to Jacoby Brissett to Philip Rivers last year. Carson Wentz, he's a 28-year-old quarterback. What is kind of, you've been on top of this so much. Is it really big to like make that connection to Frank Reich from when he was an MVP candidate in 2017 to getting him in Indy? Is it really the organizational belief that they can unlock that 28-year-old who's still hopefully got a lot of NFL days ahead of him?
It is, but the key in this that everyone's overlooking is he doesn't need to be that. He doesn't need to be an MVP quarterback. Now, they want him. That'd be great, right? Who's going to turn that down? He's got the physical skills. I mean, we saw that in OTAs a couple of weeks ago. I mean, this is different than what we had last year with Philip Rivers. This is going to be a different skill set for this team at quarterback. Far more athletic, can move in the pocket, can avoid sacks. Now, Rivers made up for that with some elite accuracy, right? But he's going to open up the playbook in ways we haven't seen since late in the 2018 season when Andrew Luck was taking shots downfield to T.Y. Hilton. That's what this offense is going to look like if Philip, you know, if Carson Wentz plays well. But to your first question, this is a big thing that Frank Reich is stressing upon Carson Wentz. You don't have to be an MVP here. We're going to call plays that set you up for success, but we're not going to put too much on your shoulders. You have a great offensive line in front of you, with two of the best in their position right in front of you. Left guard, Quentin Nelson. Center, Ryan Kelly, two Pro Bowlers. A hell of a right tackle as well in Braden Smith. We're going to run the football too. The Colts are going to run as much as anybody in the league this year. I really believe that. Marlon Mack is back. You've got the workhorse in Jonathan Taylor. You've got the very versatile weapon in Nyheim Hines. You've got some dynamic talent on the ends as well. You've got Paris Campbell coming back from injury. I'm really high on him. We'll see if he stays healthy. T.Y. Hilton is back. Michael Pittman is back for year two. You know, there's a lot of talent around Carson Wentz. And part of the problem last year in Philadelphia was he had no talent around him, and he felt like he had to do everything. And he was sacked 50 times, for goodness sake. So the Colts gave up like 11 sacks last year. You know, so when they get rolling, you're not going to see an MVP at quarterback, because he's not going to have to be an MVP at quarterback. There's going to be a balance there that Frank Reich believes is the best way to win.
Oh, that's awesome. You mentioned Jonathan Taylor. You know, he had such a closing kick to the season last year, probably was the best running back in football, not named Derrick Henry. is it, you know, from a fantasy standpoint, is it easy to kind of project that he could be that guy to take the next step in year two and be one of the dominant backs, not only in the NFL, but also for fantasy? And could he, could he see a little bit more in work in the passing game?
To answer your first question, fantasy, I think so. But I'm a little hesitant because I'm a little hesitant with any Colts player from a fantasy perspective. And here's why. They love to share the ball. Now, that doesn't mean that Jonathan Taylor is not going to be the workhorse. He's the featured back. He's the starter. Marlon Mack will not be the starter. Taylor's earned that. He's going to get the bulk of carries. But if Marlon Mack gets hot, Marlon Mack's going to stay in. They're going to keep feeding him. And you've also got Hines, who's coming off a career season, 7 touchdowns, 4 on the ground, 3 in the air. They've got weapons all around. So the other question is does he catch the ball more? I don't necessarily see a huge uptick in that realm. I really think that's Nyheim Hines' role. You see a little bit from Marlon Mack. Now, if I'm the Colts, I'm getting Jonathan Taylor the ball anytime I can get him the football, just because he's a refrigerator out there. I mean, he just bowls people over. We'll get a better sense of that during training camp. But I'm just a little hesitant from a fantasy perspective because they're not going to just go all in on one guy. They're not going to go all in on T.Y. Hilton in the passing game. They're not going to go in on Jonathan Taylor in the running game. They're going to spread it around.
And you mentioned, so you kind of see Nyheim Hines being that catch, the guy catching, and maybe Marlon Mack being the guy to kind of relieve Jonathan Taylor, you know, kind of getting some carries, because coming off an Achilles injury is very significant for a running back.
Yeah, and they've got a lot of them. They've got Marlon Mack coming back. Now, he's about 100% right now, so he's well on his way. He was in the facility all fall, you know, coming in to take COVID tests just to be in the facility, to be in the meetings with these guys when he didn't have to be. A great mentor for Jonathan Taylor and Nyheim Hines. You know, they got a second-round draft pick named Deo Odengbo, who's coming off an Achilles tear as well. When is he going to be back? You know, he's going to be fun to watch. Wait till you see this guy play. And then perhaps most importantly, they got Eric Fisher, the left tackle, who, you know, until he's back, what does that left tackle spot look like? They've got some bodies. But with a new quarterback, Carson Wentz, that gives you a little bit of pause. I would expect Marlon Mack to be fine. He's been running full go for several weeks, even a month now. They'll be cautious with him in training camp. But that guy, I mean, this is a speed guy that can change the game with one handoff.
Yeah, we saw it. And, you know, you just recently did your position rankings, and you talked about how much you really like the wide receiver core if they stay healthy. You got T.Y. Hilton, the veteran, going into his age 32 season. You got Michael Pittman going to year two. Out here in LA, we saw a lot of him at USC doing great things. And I think a lot of people are expecting big things. And you mentioned Paris Campbell. You also did a great feature on him, how he's, you know, kind of coming back. You know, he's trying to shake that injury bug that really is, you know, caved in his first two seasons. Do you see kind of like spread, like you mentioned with the running game, kind of a spreading around, or could you see someone maybe taking a little bit of a step forward out of this group to be kind of a little more dominating targets?
It's hard to say. I would lean towards they're going to spread the wealth around. It's just how Frank calls the game. He likes to keep the defense off balance because he doesn't know where they're going to go with the football. If this offense is operating at full steam with all the bodies healthy, they're going to spread the ball. That means there's going to be weeks where T.Y. has 7 for 110 and a touchdown, and there's weeks where he has 3 for 32. You know, and that's going to be the deal. But as for guys to take the next step forward, I start with two guys. I start with Michael Pittman Jr., who really started to flash late in the year. I mean, he was a monster in the playoff loss to the Bills. He had this weird leg injury about the middle of the season that slowed him down. But when you get this guy in space, he can move. He's like Jonathan Taylor out there. He's big and he moves really quickly. And the other guy is Campbell, and you mentioned it. And we talked a lot this offseason about just how hard the last couple of years have been. But I know for a fact that Frank Reich is all in on Paris Campbell. He loves his skill set. He pushed hard for him in the draft. That's a guy they really want to get involved. And in the first game of the season last year, Paris had 7 catches for 78 yards. He was all over the field. And then he got hurt in week 2, so you never saw him again. But his skill set is really, really, really good for this offense. They can move him around. They can get him the ball in space. They can let him pile up some yards after the catch. I'm going to say it until – people start listening, but I think Paris Campbell could have a huge season if he stays healthy.
I mean, I mean, you mentioned it. I mean, he had flashes in that first week, and it's just, I mean, and we saw him at Ohio State. Just, you know, you just want health for him. You just want health for him. You know, the tight ends is another kind of a group. You got Jack Doyle and Mo Alie-Cox coming back. I believe you mentioned that you'd like to see Mo Alie-Cox a little more involved in the passing game. And Frank Reich has definitely talked up Kylan Granson, the rookie. You know, is there prospects for any one of these players maybe jumping up and taking a step to the forefront among the pass catchers on the tight end side?
Yeah, Grant is a guy to watch, and I'll have a better answer for you in the middle of training camp when I've actually seen him play real football against NFL players, as opposed to what we saw the last couple of weeks, which is just guys in shorts. But they love Grant's skill set. He moves really well for a tight end, and if you watch his highlights at SMU, you can see why. He's going to be fun. He's going to be fun. He's going to be a downfield threat. You know, think ultimate dream scenario, he becomes the next Dallas Clark. They move him all over the offense. They treat him like a wide receiver. Now, we got a long way to go, and he's probably not going to end up being as good as Dallas Clark. Dallas Clark was really good, but picture that type of player in the offense. That's why they really like Granson. Now, Jack Doyle is going to be as steady as ever. And if for those of you thinking that he's over the hill, go back and look at the Bills playoff game. I mean, he helped them come back. I mean, he was huge. But Mo Alie-Cox catches everything his way. I think he had 32 catches on 39 targets last year, a couple touchdowns. They have to use him as a blocker more than they want to because they want to get him involved in the passing game. But when they lost Anthony Costanzo late in the year, certain situations, they just have to use Mo Alie-Cox as a blocker because he's so good at that. But this guy catches everything. I mean, he's a former basketball player. He's got the biggest hands you'll ever see. I really think he could be a 9 or 10 touchdown guy if you feature him in the red zone because he's so hard to move out of position down there. He knows how to block out, right? You know, VCU's leading rebounder when he graduated, and he's got great hands. But they just keep saying this year after year, we want to get Mo Alie-Cox more involved in the offense. Well, it's time to do it. You know, I want to see it this year because you don't really have that dynamic threat just yet.
You touched on the offensive line coming in, and obviously Eric Fisher is a big addition, but he's coming off of his own Achilles tear. And which is big for a 300-pound guy. And I think you've also written about the fact that they've got a really, really tough schedule to open up the season when you're going to really need that offensive line operating at top form for both the running game and to protect Wentz and get him comfortable back there. How much is going to rest on those on that combination of five guys at the front, which was number seven, according to Pro Football Focus, at the end of 2020?
Yeah, it's huge. I mean, you got a new quarterback coming in who's coming off the worst year he's ever played, ever. He was benched. His confidence was shaken. He was traded. You need to do everything you can to make Carson Wentz's life easier. And they've got everything set up for him except for one spot that really gives me pause, and that's the left tackle spot. They got a great running back room. They got talent on the wide receivers. They got enough at tight end. They got maybe a Hall of Famer at left guard, a Pro Bowler at center, and a future Pro Bowler at right tackle. But the left tackle spot is really important. You know that as much as anybody. And it's just a little shaky right now. You know, it's Will Holden, who's back from last year's team, Julian Davenport, Sam Tevy. They signed some guys who played a lot, but certainly haven't been consistent starters in the league. And the question is, can they hold up for 4 or 5 weeks until Fisher gets back? And does Fisher get back to the same level he was at in Kansas City? The Colts believe he will. That's what the medicals tell them right now. But this is an Achilles, and this is serious. And a lot of guys haven't come back to play at the level they used to. But if he comes back and is the two-time Pro Bowler that he was, and this team gets rolling by mid-October, they're going to be dangerous. And I really think Wentz is going to start to hit his stride in November and December. That's when usually Reich gets his quarterback to start playing really well. Remember, it's the fourth different starting quarterback Frank Reich's had in four seasons. That's unbelievable. And they've won. I mean, they've won a lot of games in that span. They made the playoffs twice, and the only year they didn't was when the star quarterback retired 15 days before the opener. So it's going to be fascinating, but you're right. I mean, if I'm making a list of the biggest question marks to start training camp, left tackle the first 4 weeks, That's huge. There's just no other way to look at it.
So there's a line in your bio that makes me smile, that made me smile. You mentioned you've written about Pat McAfee's poker skills. Do you got a quick fun story about McAfee? You're covering him?
I'll make it real quick, but it's too good of a story. He was like my third day on the beat, and I was talking to Pat, and I always ask questions that are kind of weird, but I said, Pat, how did you end up being a punter in the first place? And he's like, you know what, we should go to dinner and talk about it. And we did, and it all goes back to this poker game, if you can believe it. He was a high schooler, and he wanted to go to this famous kicking camp in Miami, but his parents wouldn't let him go. So he lied to his parents. He borrowed $100 from a friend. He turned $100 into $1,400 in a poker game in Pittsburgh. He used that money to buy a plane ticket to Miami, went down to Miami, stole the show. And on Monday of that weekend, he had a West Virginia coach in his high school cafeteria offering him a scholarship. Without that weekend, without that poker game, I don't know if any of us have ever heard of Pat McAfee.
How incredible. That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, last question. It's another fun one. You know, I always ask our guests, this being a Latino Mexican focus, you know, we come from a big Mexican family. Favorite taco meats or favorite Mexican food that you have?
Great question. My wife and I have been on a big chorizo kick lately. Chorizo tacos. I mean, we could do it two or three nights a week and we don't get sick of it. And there's a great spot in town, a little hole in the wall that's just, it's perfect. So yeah, chorizo, like give it to me Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, and I'm happy.
Oh, it's one of my favorites too. It's one of my favorites. You know, I will say if you find it, grill it up with a little bit of sauteed onion, it's just heaven. Absolutely.
Yeah, we'll do that. We'll take the advice.
Oh, it's great.
We've got a good butcher shop in town, so we'll do that and see what happens.
Fantastic. Hit me up any recipe ideas. I'll send them your way, my friend.
Will do.
Zach, thank you. I know you got girl dad duties. Hey, I know where it comes from, fellow girl dad. You know, tip of the cap to you. Everybody, eso es todo for our show. Thanks again to Anchor for being our hosting network and making sure our independent podcast gets out in the Familia community. Also, thanks to YouTube for being our host on the broadcast portion. Please make sure to subscribe wherever you can and find original content, including an article based on this in a few days at familiaffb.com. You could find me at Jorge Martin 17. Zach, where can they find you?
Just at ZKiefer on Twitter. Pretty easy.
And definitely on The Athletic, man. I've been a subscriber for 3 years. It's such a great read. Also, find us on Instagram and Twitter at Familia FFB and our Familia FFB Facebook page. Gracias again, Zach. Thank you so much. And remember, everybody, todos somos familia. Salud.
Thanks, Jorge.